Let's pray together as we begin. Father, I do thank you this morning. We can come together as a body, Lord, as a community. Some young, some not so young, Lord, but we are one. We are together. We're united in you, Jesus. Father, I pray this morning as we talk about temptation, as we think more about our brokenness this morning, I pray that we would be reminded continually that it is you who saves, it is you who redeems, it's you who is at work. And because of that, we can praise your name. So, Father, I pray you would be worshiped this morning, that we would magnify your name, and that we would leave this place encouraged, not condemned, but encouraged, knowing that you love us, that you saved us, God, by sending your Son, Jesus. And we can have confidence in him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, it is great to be with you on this September 9th Sunday. I will be honest, I am super excited because if you don't know, so we moved here about 10 months ago, and I talk about my house way too much, but I'm super excited. I took out the air conditioning unit probably prematurely, but I took it out of our bedroom because I just wanted that breeze, and I just wanted to be able to say, I am finished with you, summer. It is good to experience some cool weather. When the warm comes, I'll be okay. But I want to talk this morning to you about temptation. We started off 2 weeks ago, we talked about trials. We actually talked about the pure joy we can experience in our trials. That even in the midst of the brokenness, even in the midst of all that we experience in life, we can still consider all the trial we're experiencing as pure joy, not because we love the trial, but because we love what it's producing in us. And so last week we talked about the crown of life that we experience, the perspective that we've gained to understand that God is the one who makes us complete through Jesus Christ. And we can actually be thankful when we experience trials because it only proves that we are not God and we need to rely on him. Yet he is faithful and he does not forget us. So we can experience a crown of life both now and in the future, knowing that one day we will be with Jesus because it is he who saves us and he is the one who walks with us through the trials we face. And so today we're going to continue in James. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to be in the first chapter going through verses 13 through 18, finishing up this section this morning. And I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to talk about trials. For me, it's been an interesting few weeks because I've had to reflect on my own brokenness. It's not easy. It's not easy to think about temptation because it means that I have to recognize again that I'm not good enough on my own. I'm not God. Sounds easy to say, but when we live out this truth, when we live this truth out, we recognize our own brokenness more and more. So as we read this passage, these few verses, I'd encourage you, would you have ears to hear and hear this anew? Not with the recognition of just the temptation, but with the recognition of the one who has conquered our brokenness and the one who has redeemed us, because there is a way out of our temptation. Starting in verse 13, it reads, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So what do you think of this word tempted, this word temptation? I wasn't around back in like the 60s or 70s. I know there's this band called The Temptations. So maybe that's what you think of when you hear the word temptations. I don't. That's okay. Or maybe when you think of temptations, you think about, I don't know, my wife and I were talking about food and like just the reality that sometimes I know what I need to say. I need to cut off myself from like dessert or things like that. But yet I'm so tempted to want to continue eating. I'm tempted to want to eat that extra cookie that I probably shouldn't. So maybe it's a small temptation. Maybe temptation to you is much greater than that. Maybe temptation for you is recognizing a sin in your life and saying, you know, I'm done with that. You know, I recognize that I'm drawn to this sin, but I don't want to have this sin anymore. Or maybe temptation for you is something you've never really processed before. Maybe the idea of temptation is, it's new. The fact that we can say no to temptation is new. Why should I say no to temptation? Isn't that how I'm wired? Yet we're confronted with this word this morning, this word temptation. And we're told by James, do not be deceived. That is to say, don't be deceived by the reality that you can just succumb to your temptation. In fact, don't be deceived in thinking that there's even a way out of your temptation beyond Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. And so I think it's fascinating. He starts off in verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. How easy would it be for someone to say, well, Lord, I know that you are tempting me, therefore if I succumb to this, well, you are the one who did it anyways, right? I mean, how many times I think about myself when I was young, when I had my younger brothers. I'm the oldest of three brothers, and I would get upset with my brother who, you know, my mom would say, well, why'd you hit your brother? Well, don't you know that he was, you know, picking on me, he was poking me. In fact, he probably hit me 5 times, and I finally gave the final slam. I was tempted, Mom. Don't you understand that? And so we can think to ourselves, you know, well, this is just life. You know, it's just so easy to give in to temptation. God knows I'm being tempted, so what does it matter if I give into it? And yet the first thing we're told is don't go down that road. Don't go there, because God isn't the one who tempts you. In fact, it's so interesting because this passage only illuminates more of our brokenness. The reality is, I mean, how does it word it? It says that this is what happens when you're tempted. It says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, verse 14, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. So it's my own evil desires, it's my own brokenness that causes me to be tempted. It's not God. And when I think it's God's fault, I'm really neglecting the reality of my own brokenness. And I will say this because I know my middle brother's probably listening to this right now, and he's saying, Kent, you know you hit me so hard though. So I want to clarify this, Kyle, that the reality is I have made mistakes in my life and that I do go through moments when I do succumb to temptation. Don't we all? Don't we all succumb to temptation? But God does not want us to succumb to this temptation. He does not want us to succumb to the reality that we are not able to be overcomers in the midst of our brokenness. The reality is this: through Jesus Christ, he has made us overcomers. Do you know this morning that you're an overcomer if you put your trust in Christ? Do you know that through Jesus Christ, he has actually not only saved you from your past sins, but he's actually redeemed you from your future sins and your present sins? Romans 8 says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We are overcomers. That's part of what it means to be a Christian, is that I recognize that I am not bound to sin. I am not bound to my brokenness anymore. Yes, I still have this evil desire. And if you can turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18, which reads this, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." So we have to recognize that on our own we are broken individuals. We are not overcomers. But through Jesus Christ, He has overcome our sin. He has overcome our brokenness to the point where verse 25 reads, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I'm an overcomer. If you put your trust in Christ, you are an overcomer because of what He has done for you. The first step in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is not putting your trust in Jesus. The first step in becoming a follower of Jesus in Jesus Christ is recognizing that you are not God. The first step in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is admitting you are not good enough on your own. I've had to come to that reality to say I am not God. And from there, I've been able to put my trust in Jesus to understand that it is He who is the good within me. He is the one who makes me an overcomer. So you're an overcomer this morning over the small things in life, the Oreo cookies that you need to say no to. And you're an overcomer over the great sin in your life because of what God is doing within you. This morning we sang about the Holy Spirit. The amazing reality is that God Himself dwells within us if we put our trust in Him. God, the God of the universe, dwells within us. And though this sinful nature is still within me that I honestly hate, God is within me through His Holy Spirit. He is, as we said last week, He is molding me. He's shaping me into His likeness. He hasn't quit on me. In fact, He says in Philippians 1, Paul says that He's going to bring this work to completion. So I can be confident, not in myself, but I can be confident in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers this morning. I love how, I don't have this verse up here, but I love how Romans 7 goes into Romans 8. Because you know what Romans 8, 1 says? It says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So the reality is He's now defined who we are. He's defined our own brokenness, but He's also defined that He is the one who makes us whole. So we don't have to go back to our sinful nature. We don't have to go back to our temptation and say, "I'm going to say yes to this." But again, if we can go back to James chapter 1, it does say that when we are tempted, therefore we know that temptation still exists. So to be a Christian doesn't mean all of a sudden I can say, "Well, I'm no longer tempted by that." That's not true. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we still experience temptation. We are still broken individuals. But we can recognize that we can say no to our temptation. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I've really come to reflect on the reality that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I had never really reflected on that before this past season, that truly it is God who gives me self-control. And when I rely on myself to be in control, I can't do it on my own. To be honest with you, the reason I know I can't do it on my own is because when I rely on myself, pride all of a sudden creeps its way in to the door. When I try to do things on my own, I can see myself getting bigger and bigger. My head gets bigger and bigger. My wife reminds me over and over again, "Kent, let it go. You're not in control." Even last night, my wife reminded me again. She just said, "Kent, you gotta lay things before the Lord. You gotta let things go." And so I encourage you. A step this morning for you in your temptation may be recognizing that you're in a community. You are in community. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 read, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I want to read verse 25 one more time. "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing," so it's reality, "but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So even as things get busier and busier, that's not a time to neglect church. It's actually a time to come together. We need to be in community. I have a friend who recently went through a hard season, and I talked to him on the phone. I know him well. Know him super well. I know his weaknesses about as well as he knows my weaknesses in many respects. So one of the first things that I said, we obviously prayed together. We made sure to talk about getting in God's Word together. But I had to remind him, "Brother, don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Don't throw a pity party and say, 'Woe is me,' and then go into hiding. Because you know what's going to happen. Temptation's right there. And instead of going to Jesus, if you're isolating yourself, you're just going to look at your brokenness, you're going to look at your reasons for being upset, you're going to try to justify yourself, which isn't going to get you anywhere. Instead of looking to Jesus and being reminded that He is good." And I remind myself that as well. There are moments when I want to go into isolation. I want to throw that temper tantrum, that pity party. But God does not call us to that. He does not call us to succumb to that temptation. Because He's delivered us from that evil. He's delivered us from our own pride. So in those moments when I want to look to myself and say, "I'm able to overcome my own brokenness," I think that's when I'm the most susceptible to temptation, to be honest. When I don't recognize that sin is right there waiting for me. Satan certainly knows my weaknesses. So I have to be reminded of this continually, to not isolate myself. We're coming into September. And so if you are in the age of Awana, so if you're a Cubby, a Sparks, a TNT person, I think most of those are over there, but our TNTers, some of them are still here. I encourage you, TNTers, come on out. Be a part of a community. Even as a young person, be a part of a community. And for those of you that are in the age of between 12 and 18, if you're a middle schooler or a high school student, come out to our youth ministry. Be a part of a community, because it is so hard to run the race on your own. And I'm excited. We're looking forward to our kickoff party coming on September 23rd. And if you're an adult, whether you're 18 to 24, we're going to have this group starting up again that following week on the 30th. Come and be a part of our community. If you're an adult, come and be a part of one of our community groups. These are opportunities for you to link arms with others, to recognize that you're not good enough on your own, but to recognize that you're running the race with others who are also just as broken, but through the Spirit are made whole. So please, be a part of our community. Secondly, as Romans 7:25 states, it is Jesus who overcomes. Today may not be an easy day for you as you listen to temptation, because maybe right now you're finding yourself in the midst of temptation and you've been succumbing to it for quite a while. And you're thinking, "Kent, you're talking about me right now. I don't like this. I don't know who you are, but you may well be in this room." If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, I want to remind you, Romans 8:1 does say there is no condemnation. And even as we talked about 2 weeks ago in James, God wants to give you wisdom. He's going to do it without finding fault. So don't feel like, well, I've messed up. I've gone too far down the road. God can't save me. If you put your trust in Jesus, he's already redeemed you. Come back to him. Trust him. Allow him to work through you and in you. He does not want you to continue down the line of temptation. Why? Because here it is in James. Verse 15 says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." If we succumb to our sin over and over and over again, it only draws us away from our relationship with Jesus. It only draws us away from what he's designed us to do. And though, no, we cannot lose our salvation, do not be afraid, do not be fearful. It is he who saves us. Therefore, if he's already paid the price for our sin, we couldn't earn our salvation, we can't earn our demise as well. Our demise is earned in our own brokenness, as Romans 3:23 states anyways. All sin, all fall short of the glory of God. So if it's on us, we're doomed. So this is not talking about our salvation, but in the respect of allowing sin to just eat us up, and ruin our relationship with God. If you are in that place right now, I would encourage you, go and find help. Be a part of a community. Come to somebody, come to me. Allow God to work through you, because sin will continue on and it will break you more and more. There's never a way out outside of Jesus Christ when it comes to sin. So don't allow yourself to be deceived, as the passage states. And if you've never put your trust in Jesus, I would also remind you of this truth. You are never going to earn your salvation. And so spiritually, literally, your sin will never make you whole. And one day, if you do not put your trust in Jesus, there is no way for salvation. It is both a wonderful thing to understand that we are followers of Jesus Christ if you put your trust in Jesus. And it is scary to realize, to understand that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, including save ourselves. So if you've never put your trust in Christ, I would encourage you, there's no better time than today. And this is not to scare you, but this is for you to understand that there is a way of salvation, and it comes through Christ. I beg of you, put your trust in him. So don't be deceived this morning. Don't be deceived and think that you can just succumb to your temptation if you're a follower of Christ. And certainly don't be deceived in thinking that your sin can make you whole if you've never put your trust in Christ. Verse 16 reads, again, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters," which is great. It's a great way to put it for James. It's an endearing term. Like, he gets you. He's with you. You're his family. "Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. So who is the source of the good gifts that we experience? Who is the source? The source is God. So when I say yes to temptation, what it really means is I'm saying no to God. If I'm saying yes to brokenness, I'm saying no to the one who makes me whole. Do you get that? I know in the moment when sin is there, it looks so enticing. Warren Wiersbe talks about how it's like a fishing lure to a fish. And it looks so shiny in the moment. How silly is that? It looks so shiny in the moment, but you know what the fishing lure is going to do. The fish is going to take the bait, get pulled in, and that's the end. And for temptation and our sin, it can be the same way. In the moment, sin looks so good, it looks shiny. But it's not from the giver of the good gift. So when we say no to temptation, what we're really doing is saying yes to God. And then, When we say yes to God because he gives us the good gifts, we're experiencing something he has designed for us. Do you get that? When we say no to sin and yes to God, we are experiencing the way God has designed us to experience life. Oh, it's not always easy. But it's worth saying no, and often it's worth waiting. It's worth waiting. So if sin is in front of you this morning, I would encourage you to lift up your eyes. I would encourage you to recognize and be reminded of where that temptation is coming from. That temptation is most likely coming from within you. And often that temptation is being drawn more and more by the evil one who knows that you are susceptible. He's a liar. He's been a liar since the beginning. Genesis 3 was clear with that. When the serpent, the devil, went to Eve and told Eve, no, you can eat that apple or whatever that fruit that was. You can eat that fruit. You won't surely die. He's got the same lie thousands of years later. So when we say no to sin and yes to God, we're actually experiencing something much more wonderful. So we want to experience this heavenly light, and that's also a wonderful picture because it does not change like shifting shadows. Now, my wife and I love, like, when we go out for drives and it's cloudy, but the sun kind of starts to peek through the clouds. It's a beautiful picture. But the reality is the heavenly lights aren't just like that. The heavenly light is a perfect light. It's a perfect light. Perfect light, because God is the source of light. So the gifts we experience, they are perfect gifts. They are good gifts. Even for broken people, we can experience goodness from God. Experience that source this morning. Experience the source of the good gifts this morning. And I would challenge you this week, one active step I would encourage you in is, as you see temptation come, be reminded of what you're saying no to and who you're saying yes to. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ said no to a whole lot of temptation and went the whole way to the cross. For you, he went the whole way to the cross. Took on all our sin, all our brokenness, so we could become overcomers. So when we're saying no to sin, we're saying yes to God. We're saying yes to the work of Jesus Christ. We're saying yes to the work that Christ did. We're saying, thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me self-control. And then the passage finishes with this. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And really quick and in short, to me what that passage in part is saying is, we are able to magnify our awesome God. We're kind of first fruits. That is to say, he has planted something within us through his Holy Spirit, and it's producing something wonderful that we could never do on our own. And it shines out to the universe. I love picturing heaven and thinking about the reality that one day when I'm in heaven, I'm really going to just be a trophy of God's grace. Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to know that I'm not there because of anything I've done. The only thing I've done is said, yes, Jesus. The only thing I've done is say, I'm broken, I'm not good enough. I cannot wait for that day. And what the reality is, what's going to happen is, for eternity, I'm just going to be a trophy of that grace to the universe, saying, I am not good enough, but God is good enough. He has redeemed me. He has saved me. Because of what he's done in me, I am his child. And I am redeemed. For eternity, we are going to be trophies of God's awesome grace. And even now, we get to be that kind of first fruits to show to the world that it is He who saves. So another active step for you this week would be to look at your life, examine your life. Reflect on the reality that when you say yes to God and no to temptation, you are a kind of first fruits. You're an example to the world. You are an example to your neighbors. You're an example to your coworkers. You're an example to anyone you come in contact with. Because you are reflecting and you are magnifying the work that God did in your life. It's wonderful to think that God redeems all of our time, all of our days, even our hardships. He redeems those moments and allows us to shine out His power and His awesomeness. Maybe you feel really small today. Maybe you feel tiny. Do you know that you are magnifying the power of Jesus Christ if you put your trust in Him? You are magnifying an awesome God. And this draws us to worship. Why does it draw us to worship? Because we know the one who saved us. We know the one who redeemed us. We know it's not of our power. I mean, I've enjoyed this past 3 weeks because it's confronted me more and more with the reality that I am not God. He is God, and He is working in me. And I have a reason to worship. I have a reason to celebrate. Whether it's through singing or whether it's through my heart overflowing with thanksgiving, I have a reason to be thankful because God is not finished with me yet. He is not finished with you yet. So where do you find yourself this morning? Do you find yourself steeped into temptation? There is a way of escape. Do not be deceived. There is a way out, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if you've never put your trust in this God that I'm talking about, I hope that you can recognize and understand that there is no one greater. If you're waiting for something better to come along, it never will. It will never come along. The good gift comes from God, who comes from the heavenly lights. Does not come like shifting shadows. He is our source of joy. And because of this reality, Grace Church, because of this reality, we can be defined as people recognizing our brokenness, but we can be defined as followers of Jesus Christ. We can be defined as children of God, and we can be defined as overcomers this morning. Let us not fall back. Let us not go back to temptation. Let us be marked by the overcomers who have been defined by Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm encouraged. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, there are some that do not know you that are in this room, I do believe. And if they don't know you, Father, I pray that they would hear this truth. There's nothing sweeter than you, Jesus. There's nothing sweeter in this world than you. Only you satisfy. Father, would you draw people to yourself? And for those of us that have put our trust in you, Father, I pray that we would recognize, we would lift our eyes to see that we are overcomers. That we would see that you pulled us away from our sin, you've given us self-control, and you've allowed us to magnify your awesomeness, your wonderful power, and that we display this power through your grace. Lord, may we be people who worship you, that are thankful, and that over the overflow of our heart, people would know that it is you who is our God and it is you who saves. Father, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.